So you come ahead and share what the Lord has laid on your heart. Our evening is moving by rapidly. And I'll tell you what, just listening to those children quote scripture, that ought to get you fired up to serve the Lord, to make sure to get the vision, okay? Embrace the vision. Get out of your little box, okay? Forget about yourself. Get on the train, the vision of building a church for the glory of God and glorifying our Lord. Go ahead. Come on, Sam.
Good evening. I want to talk about having the proper focus and balance in life. I put together these thoughts with my own life and struggles in mind, and hopefully they can be a benefit and help to you. Our life immediately loses most of its value when we stop living a life of service to the Lord and begin to live a life for material benefit. Our life is not our own. We were created to serve another. Living a life dedicated to the Lord's service gives you much more purpose than anything else can even come close to. In Matthew 6, it says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Earthly possessions will decay and cannot be taken along, and they have no lasting value in and of themselves, because the only value they have is when they are supplementary to fulfilling God's will and laying up treasure in heaven. It's only a means to an end when they're part of doing what the Lord wants us to do. There are significant differences observable by others when someone is living a life of service to the Lord versus when they are living to serve self. Because when people don't have the proper focus, they end up forfeiting things of much more value for present enjoyment, even though they don't often think about what they're forfeiting. For example, Esau, in Genesis 25. Starting in verse 29. "And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?' And Jacob said, 'Swear to me this day.' And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." My other example is Gehazi in 2 Kings 5. Starting in verse 9. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, 'Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean.' But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, 'Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him. And he said, Behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. In this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Reuben to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Reuben. When I bow down myself in the house of Reuben, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian, and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him, and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him, and said, Is all well? And he said, All is well. My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, Be content, take two talents. And he urged him, and bound two talents of silver in two bags, with two changes of garments, and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. And he went in, and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, Whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, Thy servant went no whither. And he said unto him, Went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. They did not, Esau there, Gehazi, did not realize what they're forfeiting. Well, Esau named, stated beforehand that he was willing to sell his birthright. But Gehazi, even more than leprosy for life, there is life beyond this earthly life.
Right.
He was forfeiting that as well, and he did not have that in mind when he chose to do this disobedience. I also kind of wonder how he thought that Elisha was not going to find out. When people were focused on what God wanted them to do in life and understood the end goal, it made a big difference. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 17. And Jehoshaphat his son reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against Israel. And he placed forces in all the fenced cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. And the Lord is with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the first ways of his father David, and sought not unto Balaam, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doings of Israel. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves out of Judah. Also in the third year of his reign he sent to his princes, even to Ben-Hail, and to Obadiah, and to Zechariah, and to Nathanael, and to Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah. And with them he sent Levites, even Shemaiah, and Nethaniah, and Zebadiah, and Azahel, and Shemiramoth, and Jehonathan, and Adonijah, and Tobijah, and Tob, Adonijah, Levites, and with them Elishama and Jehoram, priests. And they taught in Judah, and had the book of the law of the Lord with them, and went about throughout all the cities of Judah, and taught the people. And the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. That's one example of a king in the midst of all these other kings that did wickedly in the sight of God. It's one example of a king who knew what he was supposed to do and decided that he was going to do it. I'm sure he had many people that were in opposition to what he knew needed to be done. There are many examples of other kings where it says, you know, they spoke to the king and asked him to, you know, make them an idol. It does not mention that here about Jehoshaphat, but I know what Jehoshaphat would have said. Because it shows that Jehoshaphat definitely had a heart to serve the Lord and who is willing to do what it takes. Also, Peter and John there in Acts 4. Starting in verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. It was obvious that they had decided to serve the Lord, that they were dedicated to doing his work. They had been with Jesus. It was very evident what their focus was, what they had been spending their time doing. Because Jesus' disciples had a sense of duty, knew what they were supposed to be doing, they could grasp the big picture. Even though it was very likely that they would be martyred for it, after Jesus died, they went throughout all the then-known world preaching, and most of them were martyred for it. But they're having the focus in the right place is what gave them joy and carried them through that. Also, the Apostle Paul, he was able to grasp the vision of what God wanted him to do, and designed his entire life around God's plan. He went on many missionary journeys and many hardships and trials, even though they did not stop him. There's a list of them, which I had the reference for, but I'm not going to read it tonight. Doing what needs done often brings both joy and hardship. Paul caught the vision and preached throughout the then known world, even though it brought much suffering to him. Why has God made us and placed us on this earth? What is our purpose in life? Is there a point to this cycle of life, being born, living a life with struggles and trials, and then dying and not being able to keep any earthly possessions? I wrote down some references that illustrates the purpose God has given us. In Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. For if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator, or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Clearly Esau did not value his birthright. We also have to keep in mind, we have a tendency, being here on this earth, mostly only being able to see the earthly things, material things, we have a tendency to not value eternal life as much as we should. You have a tendency to lose focus on it, to get caught up in doing other things. Also in 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 12. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. It's obvious here that Paul had caught the vision. He had a purpose in life that he had, was holding eternal life in the proper valuing it properly. Here he's instructing Timothy to do likewise. And then in chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. That can only be obtained by having a proper focus, by living your life in a way, by living your life aimed in that direction. If you live your life for self, if you have your focus off, if you're looking to do other things, you're not going to be able to say that, or at least not truthfully. So you'll know in your heart, you know, whether you've been doing what you ought to. A lack of proper balance in life, like working too long of hours or not spending much time in God's Word, can cause serious problems, like falling asleep at the wheel or having a shallow walk with the Lord. Having a proper balance in life is something that we will always have to keep checking on.
Yes.
And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. We know what to do. It's the question of whether or not we will be willing to do what it takes, willing to keep our focus adjusted properly, willing to sacrifice maybe what we wanted to get done, maybe other earthly benefits, because nothing matters but serving the Lord. We're here not to serve ourselves, but to lay up treasure in heaven, to serve the Lord, to please Him, because we are not our own. We are bought with a price.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Somebody quickly tell me what the topic was of that message. That's true. Remember the word balance? What was your title, Samuel?
I actually had multiple written down. I kind of looked through what I could put on there.
Okay. He said balance was in the original title that I heard. And a vision, yes. You will not exhaust the principles of that book if you study it your whole life. None of us have it completely figured out. We just heard a principle tonight that was really interesting. Why was it okay for Naaman to go back and bow in the house of Rimmon, but it was not okay for Gehazi to go get some raiment and clothes from this Syrian? There's a lot of principles in the Word of God that we need to learn. To run on assumptions, to assume that we got it figured out too quickly, which is before you meet the Lord, is very dangerous. Anyone have a thought on what Brother Samuel said?